Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. As the nation takes a look at racial injustice, people are turning to books that deal with race and anti-racism. One title on many of those lists is Invisible Man by the writer Ralph Ellison. It's a novel that began in a Vermont barn 75 years ago. Reporter Anna Van Dyne has more.
When he came to Vermont in summer 1945, Ralph Waldo Ellison was 31 years old and not yet a novelist. World War II was coming to an end, and Ellison was serving as a cook in the Merchant Marine. He fell ill and was placed on medical leave, and he decided to come to Vermont.
Ellison had visited Vermont several times, I guess, staying on a farm owned by some friends of his.
That's Arnold Rampersad, who wrote a biography of Ellison. He says Ellison was planning to use the time to start a book.
He was obviously excited to be in Vermont, thrilled to be in that particular state, especially in the summertime, thrilled to have free time, but also laboring all the while to try to find his voice as a novelist. He was not sure that he was a novelist, but he was determined to become a novelist.
Ellison was born in Oklahoma, briefly studied music at Tuskegee Institute, and moved to New York City in 1936. That's where he met John and Emily Bates. They lived in Harlem and came to their house in Fayston, Vermont in the summertime. Ellison had joined them once before in 1943. There were kids in the house, too. Three girls named Joan, Diana, and Grace.
I'm Grace Ann Bates, and I am the daughter, one of the daughters of John and Emily Bates.
Today, Grace lives in Boston, but still comes to Vermont to visit family. Back in 1945, she was just 5 years old. She remembers that at her family's house in Fayston, there was no running water or electricity, the road was dirt, and just about the only car that drove by belonged to the mailman.
As a child, it was just heaven. It was just nothing but playing in the mud, playing in the brook, picking berries.
But for Ellison, who was trying to write, it wasn't so peaceful. Grace's older sister recalls throwing stuff at the barn while Ellison was working inside.
I remember the story, so we think it was probably rocks.
Despite those interruptions, something happened. Here's Ellison himself in a TV interview in 1966.
Certain things that I'd been doing, reading, thinking about, came into focus. It's sort of unconscious focus, as often happens when you're writing something.
Ellison says in that interview that he'd been thinking about mythological heroes and historical figures and what it meant to be an African-American leader at the time. This was before the civil rights movement of the 60s. He's also said he was thinking about literature and African-American folklore. And one morning, sitting in that Fayston barn,
I wrote the first sentence of what later became Invisible Man. I'm an invisible man.
Ellison later explained that the book's opening line was delivered to him by a, quote, taunting, disembodied voice. He tried to ignore it, but he couldn't. Something that had happened in Vermont was on Ellison's mind, too. He wrote that not long before that voice spoke to him, he'd seen a poster in a nearby town for a blackface minstrel show. He was surprised. He wrote that he'd, quote, thought such entertainment a thing of the past, but there, in a quiet northern village, it was alive and kicking.
I think that what was surprising for him was to see the ways in which race continues as a trope and slavery as a kind of formative understanding of American race relations.
Jennifer DeVere Brody directs the Center for Comparative Studies in Race and Ethnicity at Stanford University, where she's also a professor of theater and performance studies. She says the poster advertising the minstrel show made an impact on Ellison.
It absolutely speaks to the ways in which these minstrel shows and other aspects of racism were popular throughout the entire country, and that the North also had major issues around segregation and racism.
The narrator of Ellison's novel is an unnamed black man, invisible due to others' refusal to see him for who he is because of the color of his skin. The story takes place in the South and in New York and doesn't contain any mention of Vermont. But biographer Arnold Rampersad says it's not surprising Ellison's moment of inspiration happened where it did.
Ellison saw all around him examples of people who did not know history, did not know their own history, did not know their own sacrifice, you know, but were good people, but having lost connection to an earlier time when they were, in some respects, the center of the American moral world.
Ellison left Vermont with the beginnings of his book, which he published in 1952. It spent 16 weeks on the bestseller list and went on to win the National Book Award. It was the first book by an African-American writer to do so. Before his death in 1994, Ellison returned to Vermont several times, though not to that farm in Fayston. Today, Gamal Buhaina lives there. He's the grandson of Emily and John Bates, the couple Ellison stayed with in 1945. He grew up playing in the barn and still lives in the house across the road.
On the only flat section and straight section of the road. Nestled just beneath Mount Ellen.
The road isn't dirt anymore. Cars whip by on the pavement.
It's funny because there are more cars that have passed us during this interview than would in nearly a week back when I was a kid.
And something else is different, too. The barn where Ellison started writing Invisible Man is gone.
So, in the 60s, 66, I think, they raised the road about 6 feet here to pave it, which put a tremendous amount of stress on the barn, which was just over here.
Gamal says it fell into a state of disrepair and was torn down after his family sold the land it was on to Sugarbush Resort in the 80s. Now there are just the remnants of the foundation and a tree the barn leaned against when it began to sag. It doesn't look like much.
It looks like overgrown weeds. It looks like the nature coming back, which nature will do every time.
All that remains is a pile of stones, barely visible in a tangle of undergrowth. And Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man that began there 75 years ago. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Anna Van Dyne.